Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun, sermonaudio.com. I'm Bob, and this is part 32 of On the Witness Stand, Serious Questions for the Watchtower Cult. First question today has to do with the resurrection of Christ. According to the Jehovah Witnesses, Jesus was raised, yes, but not as a human. He was raised as a spirit. Quote, having given up his flesh for the life of the world, Christ could never take it again and become a man once more, end of quote. The biblical bodily resurrection of Jesus, for which he chose disciples to be true witnesses, these false witnesses deny. It's a travesty. What's the word say? Luke 24, verses 36 to 39, portions of it. Look at my hands and my feet. Touch me and see. A ghost or spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. Sir, take the witness stand. Let me ask you, point blank, did Jesus rise from the dead? Oh, yes, says the Jehovah Witness, of course. We all know Jesus rose from the dead. No, I mean the same Jesus that was put in the tomb actually came out of that tomb? Jehovah Witness might say, well, I'm not sure you can prove that, since no one was there. We're convinced that he rose, but common sense tells us that he rose as a spirit being. Question, how do you arrive at this common sense conclusion? Jehovah Witness, we are committed to the scriptures. What the Bible says, we must say, added to reason. For example, Jesus walked through walls and appeared in place after place miraculously. Bodies cannot do this. Therefore, his body did not rise. It was, in fact, annihilated, disposed of. There is no need for that body to be raised. It had fulfilled its purpose, as one day yours will for you, and your body will turn to dust. But I say, question, and not only turn to dust, but it'll be resurrected. I note that you do believe in resurrection, but it seems that it's not the same process as we see in Scripture. You know, Scripture talks of a planting. That which is planted is certainly not the same as what comes up out of the ground later, but it is of the same essence, marvelously changed and glorified, but the same, too. The disciples eventually did recognize Jesus. They knew this man. He showed them scars, fresh wounds, even now healing. Yet, as was said, his miraculous powers were enhanced greatly. Jesus says it best in the text, when they were afraid to come near him, for the glory that was upon him. You know, think Moses and the veil, remember that? He insisted he was not primarily a spirit or ghost, as we say. No, he was Jesus, flesh and blood Jesus, magnified 1,000 times by the glory of God. Why show the scars if he didn't want to emphasize that he's still flesh and blood? And a great side effect of all this is that Jesus was showing them what they one day will look like. Their bodies, too, will be planted in a grave. Their bodies, too, will come out of that grave, resplendent with the glory of God. Next topic in the book here is Return of Christ, /Presence. Presence. Jesus came back invisibly, according to the Jehovah Witnesses, in 1874. That was the original thought. Then that thought was corrected by Judge Rutherford, and 1914 was the date set upon, and that one has stuck. So he has been present ever since, ruling as king through Jehovah's Witnesses. The term coming from the Greek parousia was changed to presence by the translators of the New World Translation. The Greek technically allows such a translation, but to render it this way flies in the face of every translation of the centuries. It also is dead set against the facts mentioned. Every eye will see Jesus when he comes. But witnesses have assumed that presence means invisible presence. There's no such assumption in the Greek, only in witness theology. Whereas Jerusalem gave us directions in the first century, now it's Brooklyn, New York, to which we are to look for guidance. And since no earthly men have ever seen the Father, neither will they see the Son. So talk about a literal return is merely symbolic to these cultists. Why, they say, he's already here. Yeah, what does the word say? Matthew 24:3. What will be the sign of your coming? New World Translation says presence. And of the end of the age. Question, sir. I notice in reading the New World Translation that you've changed the word coming to presence here and in many other New Testament texts. Why did you do that? Jehovah's Witness might say the Greek parousia can and indeed should carry that meaning, according to Strong and others. Question, how do you mean it to be different than coming? Will not Jesus have to come back to us to be present to us? Jehovah's Witness, well, we want people to know what was revealed to us, that Jesus comes back spiritually, not bodily, at this time. Question, is there something in the word parousia that implies spiritually or even invisibly, as it turns out in this case, from your viewpoint? Well, not in the Greek, no, but from our understanding of the text. Not once is a secret, spiritual coming announced to God's people. Neither in the so-called pre-tribulation rapture of our day, nor in the announcement of the spiritual kingdom set up of 1914 to 1918, is there any validity to such a claim. Write it down. When Jesus comes, every eye shall see him, Revelation 1:7. He comes with the clouds. He gathers all his chosen ones to him. They are caught up to meet him in the air, changed in the twinkling of an eye. May we all bristle and shudder when someone tells us of a secret coming. It ain't going to happen. By the way, the word parousia is translated presence only twice in standard New Testaments, both times referring to the physical presence of Paul as opposed to his physical absence. We know that Jesus promised to come back in like manner as he left, in a physical but glorified body. Nothing has changed that promise. Another verse in this regard, Matthew 24:23-27. Quote, if anyone says to you, there Christ is, do not believe him. If they say to you, he's in the wilderness, do not go out. Or behold, he's in the inner rooms, don't believe him. For just as the lightning comes from east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Question, sir, do you really believe Jesus is here? Jehovah's Witness, yes. Yes, Jesus returned to the atmosphere around the earth in 1914, where he set up his kingdom, and from which he rules now. Question, did you see him, or do you know of anyone who saw him? Jehovah's Witness, no, he came in spirit, and so no one was able to see him, but they see the results of his rule. Question, but doesn't the scripture say that every eye will see him when he comes? Well, the founding fathers and the governing body are quite sure from the scriptures that Jesus has returned. Those with spiritual eyes can see him now. Be that as it may, Jesus warned us about people like the witnesses. He knew that many charlatans would come along saying that Jesus had already come. Why, the Thessalonian church was beset with this falseness. Someone was saying that Jesus had already come and that they had been left behind. Nonsense. But it is preached today among the witnesses, so-called witnesses. Look at our text. His return is compared to lightning. Everyone sees the lightning. There's no doubt when the lightning flashes about what has just been seen. When Jesus returns, it'll be that clear. No question. We'll know when he returns. And we are to avoid and shun all the false ones who tell us that he's already here and that they only have access to him. Shameful behavior, shameful words. Beware. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 on the same subject. Be not quickly shaken by a message or a letter as from us, says Paul, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. It will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed. Question, does this passage ring a bell with you, sir? I don't know what you mean. Oh, it's loud and clear. The flashing lights and all, when I read this passage, Paul was trying to comfort his people. Someone had been writing a letter around, signing Paul's name on it. The message was, Jesus has already come. They were terrified. They had missed it. What could they do? Do you get it yet? I don't know what you're driving at. Well, let me help my naive friend. There's a guy, okay, a group, sending around a message today with the Bible's authority that Jesus has already come. He came in 1914. Did you miss it? Then you cannot be born again because the last of those folks were sealed in 1935. No hope? At least the witnesses say you can be a part of the kingdom on earth if your obedience is perfect, which probably means you'll have to get out to the street and sell some of our stuff, at least in part. How about Revelation chapter 1, verses 7 and 8? He's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, and New World Translation, Jehovah, God, who is and who was and who is to come, New World Translation, coming, the Almighty. Now see the parallel passage in the end of the book, Revelation 22, 12 and 13. I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. I am the Alpha and the Omega. And Revelation 22, 20, yes, I am coming quickly. And then the response, come, Lord Jesus. Question, I understand that you believe in the coming of Jesus to his temple, 1914, so on. That aside for the moment, could you tell us from the text that was just read, who is coming when the return occurs? Well, the text shows two comings, one of Jesus, followed by one of Jehovah. Question, there's no way you can see that the person mentioned in verse 7 is the same as in verse 8. No way you can understand that never has the Father promised a coming of this nature. That when Jesus ascended into the heavens, the angels promised he would return in like manner as they saw him go in the clouds of heaven. But nothing was ever said about the coming of the Father. Well, I've shared with you the understanding we have derived from this and other texts. There's no way that Jesus can be called Jehovah or even Lord God. Well, then at least travel with me to the other end of the book of Revelation and consider. First, in verse 8, who is the Alpha and the Omega? Again, this is Jehovah God. But look at 22:13. Who is the Alpha and the Omega there? I must assume that Jehovah will always be the same and cannot change. Indeed, this is the truth. He's the same from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was both with God and God at the same time. Verse 12 of 22 plainly speaks of the one who comes to earth with a reward. This picture is consistent with the parables and statements of Jesus throughout. The coming one is Jesus, and the next verse, the next breath, as it were, Jesus himself claims to be the Alpha and Omega. Further confirmation of the Alpha-Omega first-last connection is in Revelation 2:8, where the one who was dead, the witness Jehovah was never dead, calls himself the first and the last. This is no contradiction of Revelation 1. It's instead a contradiction of witness doctrine. It's a confirmation that Jesus, our Savior, and the Lord God Jehovah are one, as Jesus claimed 2,000 years ago. Indeed, nothing has changed. Your stance notwithstanding. Let John put the final amen to all of this when he cries out to the one who is coming, the one who is clearly visible, the one with the reward in his hand, the one called Alpha and Omega and Lord and God and Jehovah. He cries out and speaks his name. And what is that name? It's Jesus. How can witnesses really believe Jesus is here in presence? Easy. And just believe us, says the Jehovah Witnesses. Believe that the composite sign of Matthew 24 has been fulfilled. Believe us that our chronology is really right. Just believe us. Trouble is, these signs of Matthew 24 have increased since 1914 and will continue to do so until his real appearing or return or presence. We have no way of knowing that Jesus has returned until the promise made by angels and himself is fulfilled bodily. Until then, many will try to deceive us, including those who claim an invisible rapture will occur 7 years before his visible return. And this has divided the body of Christ, witness-like, into two camps, the first class and the second class citizens. But let's just stick to the scriptures. Well, let's see. I think that's enough for this time. We'll talk about salvation by works next time, and we'll talk about Sodom's resurrection. What? Yeah, interesting stuff. Just a few more segments of this study. Thank you for hanging out with me a long time on this, but I think it was worthwhile. And check in here from time to time to see what's going on at the Hackberry House of Chosun website, sermonaudio.com, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.